You are now listening to
Call Me When It's Over. What's going on, everybody? It's your girl's favorite artist, Josie's Boy.
And I'm Alexis A. McCoy.
And wait for it. Welcome to episode 180. 180 of Call Me When It's Over.
Since you already did the wait for it, I don't need to do my, oh my God, it is 180.
I'm like, that is like, wait for it. Let's drop it. It's like the drop of the beat.
Yes, episode 180.
We 20 away from
so
200.
So close to 200, man.
That'll be your first big milestone being on the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be your first big milestone.
Yay, we should have cake.
Well, no, actually, I'm lying. Your first big milestone will be in January when you hit a year.
So we should have cake both times.
If that's what you want.
We should have cake and then we should have ice cream.
For 200?
For both.
That sounds like a lot.
Cake and ice cream?
That sounds like a lot.
No, I think we should have cake and ice cream and cookies.
That sounds like a lot.
No.
I don't think we're throwing a party.
We not going to throw a party for my 1 year.
Did I get a party for three?
I didn't get
a party for two. Yeah, you were.
For your third year?
You wasn't on the show. No, you wasn't on the show for 3 years, but you were around for 3 years.
But I celebrated with you, remember?
I celebrated for 3 years?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Because your 3 year was in March.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, every March is the, yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't remember what I did, though.
We did. We celebrated.
Not for my show. We celebrated for your birthday.
We celebrated in general.
No, we didn't. It had nothing to see.
It was a celebration.
See, y'all see how much of a lie she is, right?
Nonetheless, it was not a lie. I'm not telling
conniving.
A lie.
Get braids, don't know how to act.
Conniving. Look, I'm not telling conniving. No lies. I'm just saying we did celebrate nonetheless.
Oh, you're a trash can.
Shout out to Mama Josephine for that. The word.
What's up, Grandma? Yo, did it, let me ask you a question. Like, did it seem that this week went by really fast?
Hell yeah. And I've been tired all week.
I ain't gonna hold
it's
you.
It's just day three of the week.
I didn't realize tomorrow was Thursday until you said, oh, what are we talking about the show today? I was like, who? Today's Wednesday.
You know what? It's so funny. Everybody has been saying the same thing. I was talking to my supervisor. We had brunch today. Yeah. And he was like, well, we can just talk tomorrow on Wednesday. I said, baby, today is Wednesday, sir. She's not going to be here.
I didn't even think nothing about it. I was like, yo, because we got some things going on at the end of the week that we're going to a few events. We got a like nice little action.
Shout out
weekend.
To Imagine This Women's International Film Festival. We will be attending that this weekend, this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So
hell
when
yeah.
you guys listen to the episode that's coming out on Saturday, mm-hmm. you can go ahead and purchase your tickets. One of my good friends and her mother have created this amazing film festival for women, giving women filmmakers, directors, mm-hmm. producers, voices, and this is their fourth year.
That's a big deal
that they're going to be doing it in Brooklyn.
That's a big deal.
So we're going to be sliding through to show our support. So shout out to Patrice.
And it's black owned.
It is black
let's owned. Throw that there. Yes,
it is.
Not only is she a woman, she is a black woman.
Yes, but a woman nonetheless, and it's diversified film and content that is being presented at the film festival. So if you guys imagine this International Film Festival, it's going to be happening Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, so hopefully everybody who's up Saturday early listening to this when it comes out.
Yes. You can still get your tickets, though.
That's right.
It's going all day.
That's right. It's going to go all day. You go catch that final day on Sunday. Never know who you're going to see.
Right.
Never know who you're
or meet.
See. Or meet. That's a fact. So, this week was, yo, I'm not going to lie. I turned around. I was like, damn, it's Wednesday. Like, I didn't remember it was Wednesday until you said something.
Yeah, it's been a pack. I mean, I feel like we've been moving since we came back from vacation.
Yeah. If you want to call that vacation. We had a vacation day that Sunday. That
was, I mean, we vacated New York.
Yeah,
and
we
went
left.
Somewhere else.
We left.
But, I mean, we haven't really, really, really had a, like, opportunity to, like, leave the city without working.
Nothing.
Like, we always have either functions to go to or we're going someplace to go and be a part of somebody's celebration or festivities.
Or work. Or just work. Follows us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll get something eventually.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Eventually. But, yeah, like, I was like, all right, you know what? Monday, Tuesday, shit, today's Wednesday. Like, damn, we got to record today. I was like, man, we got a show to. Luckily, I'm always on point with my notes. So, this week's shout out. Let's start the show.
Okay, who you shouting out? Because he wasn't going to tell me who the shout out was. I wasn't going to tell you.
All the energy gets out. This week's shout out goes to none other than Miss Alexis A. McCoy.
What?
Now.
Why are you shouting out me?
Now.
I mean, now, there's several reasons.
No, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. But, like, no, this reason is, so a lot of people have been asking why it's been, it hasn't been hard to get in contact with me, but I've been doing going through a lot of stuff recently. Uh-huh. And, I actually want to shout you out for, even though you're obligated to, but, for you holding me down and having my back for, like, for the issues that I've been going through these past few weeks. So that's a big deal to me. Cause I mean, it is, we're at that season now, not us, but I mean, like, the winter season coming in.
Yeah.
We're at a very depressing season. A lot of people fall into.
Yes. It's a lot.
It's a lot to take because some people don't have family. Some people, some people don't have anybody to speak to.
It's a lot of loneliness that comes, that lonely spirit seeps into you, a lot of times, and the spirit of doubt and insecurities.
Yeah. 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 So I've been having a lot of family issues. I put it like that.
Yeah.
And, it's been wearing down on me. Now I'll say this much, like, and I sent you the thing that Farrakhan, like the Farrakhan thing. That's what I DM'd it to you. Like, you'll see it.
Okay.
You'll see it. But, I'm a fan of Minister Farrakhan. I don't agree with everything he says.
He has his moments.
But, like, for a majority of his rhetoric, I relate. He's about being a man and upholding and things of that nature. And this is going to go into what we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
Too. So, having like, people don't recognize when they have the right people around them.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole show is going to be circulated. It's all centered around that. That's the word I was looking for. I'm sorry.
Your
mind is somewhere.
My mind is somewhere else.
It's the same thing. It's all connected.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize when they have the right people in their circle or in their lives in general.
Yeah.
And to have somebody who is, you know, not only my partner in life, but like a business partner, a friend. And a lot of people go through issues and you'll say something and it'll be like, oh, you know, well, God gonna fix it, and leave it at that, you know? But then to have somebody kind of speak to you and say, you know, break down what's the root of the problem, like even just randomly ask you, how's your mental feeling? Like, how are you feeling mentally? Like, cause a lot of people don't ask
that.
And it was a song you liked or something like that. Or was it a song this morning where it was like, you don't ask for love, but you accept it when I give it or something like that. Was that a song? It was a Janae Aiko song, right? This morning you was playing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it was something to the fact of.
No, it's LMA.
Something. There you go. It's one of them. But it's to the fact of, like, you don't ask for love, but, like, you accept it when I give it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't accept when somebody gives you something that you really don't.
You asked me what that meant, though, this morning.
No, I said, does it even mean anything? Because of the way she said it.
Yeah.
But then when I thought about it and you said something, I was like, okay, it makes sense now. Because it's the way she delivered it. I was like, it sounds weird, but then after we speak about it, I'm like, okay, I get it now. But it's hard for people who don't receive this thing normally. A lot of people reject it.
Yeah.
You know, but for me to be in the season that I'm in, to be the man that I'm growing to be,
yeah,
and the man that I already am, to I'm proud of myself for acknowledging that I have somebody who, like, cares.
Yeah.
And for me to not kind of reject it, for me to accept it and say, damn, she asked me how I was doing today. Not just, did you eat? Because everybody's centered around that. It's like, did you eat?
Did you eat today?
Like, that's a big deal. Don't get me wrong. But, like, just randomly, like, and you see me on, or like, thinking or something like that. It's like, how's your mental today?
It's so funny because it's so funny that you say that. And I do that to you all the time. Because we're together all the time. We're not together, then we're talking on the phone majority of the day.
It's like, I'll be working and you.
We're like, We really are best friends. It's not, we love one another, like we're in love with one another, but we really are truly best friends.
We have to tell one another, all right, you know what? I'm gonna get off the phone now.
Right. Cause we could talk about different stuff throughout the day, or we'll see articles. Like, we truly are one another's best friends, and it's so beautiful that we haven't quite got sick of one another yet.
I hope we never do.
When we do feel like we need one another, another space from one another, he'll go paint and I'll just go write or sit in a room or catch up on my shows or something like that. But
Because I'll purposely, I will work on certain things that allow me to just be around you.
Yeah.
But then if I got to go paint, I got to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. And I respect that. But it's so funny that you say that, because I'm around you every day and you tell me what's really going on. But the things that you haven't, like, quite filtered out in your mind. Mm-hmm. And I can see you, like, trying to, like, okay, let me figure this out in my mind.
Yeah.
I really want to know where your mental is. And sometimes when you're in this particular situation with your family, you were really trying to filter through how to deal with that. And sometimes I feel like we get to a point where we don't want to burden everybody else with our own issues.
Right.
That we forget that our support system is there to be our net when we can't, you know, be our guideline when we can't, or our guide when we can't really figure out where the hell we're supposed to step at.
That's a
you
fact.
Know?
That's a fact.
And it's not like they're going to lead you to where you need to be. It's going to be like, hey, let me just give you a different perspective, or let me really pray for you or open up your mind to a different. Because sometimes people say, oh, pray for me.
Sometimes, a lot of people just throw that out there.
Sometimes people say, pray for me. It's so funny because I was at work one day and
just make sure I come back around.
I know. I'm getting off topic. But this girl, one of my coworkers, she's a single mom and she decided that she wanted to go back to school.
Okay.
And, you know, her son has reached this age where he consists of a lot of homework. He's doing a lot of after school activities, and plus she's going to school, and then, you know, after she's been in class all day and mm-hmm. having a full-time job, it's a lot for her to maintain. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm spread thin. And I was like, well, you know, just pray about it and God will help you. She said, sometimes I feel like it's not even great for me to pray for myself because I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And in that moment,
a lot of people feel like they can't speak.
That moment, I was like, I'm about to pray for you right now. And I pray for her in the lobby of our office building.
There you go.
And she was like, I really did receive that because I didn't know what to say. I was like, I can only imagine what type of situation you are. So for me, pertaining to you, mm-hmm. I don't know the situation that you're going through with your family. I've never been through something like that. I don't know what that feels like. But for me, my whole goal is to make sure that you're mentally in a space where you are at least finding peace with the situation.
Right.
Not saying that it's going to happen today, tomorrow, yeah. But if I can help you vocally, especially as a male, mm-hmm. as a black man, you feel like, okay, we already got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't want to burden you. I'm the man. I can figure this out on my own. But right.
That's not safe.
And I've seen my brother actually go through that, and mm-hmm. he actually had a mental breakdown. So for me, I remember telling me we had to like have a family intervention about it, because mm-hmm. it's like, you have to talk to us. Mm-hmm. We want to know what's going on.
Yeah, you got to say something.
Ain't nothing that hard where you can't voice what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's when I ask you what's your mental, I want to know how you feel on the inside.
That's the hard part about like being, I would say being, not just being a male, but being a black male.
It's yeah.
Like, that whole, like, I mean, you know, you being black in general, whether you man or woman, right. It's hard.
It can be a struggle yeah, to be in your skin. That's for
listen,
sure.
Listen, we a full contact sport daily.
Right.
Daily.
A full contact
sport. Being black sport. Is a full contact sport.
It is. It can be. It's a daytime. It's a full-time and a part-time job.
I'm telling you, taking it one day at a time came from being black. Mm-hmm. I don't care what no drug program tell you. Taking it one day at a time is definitely coming from being black.
Yeah.
But to grow up and be told that, you know, you got to be tough, you got to be this, you got to be that.
Yeah.
Like I told you, this is the first time in my life where like my fourth wall is down, and I've never been this vulnerable.
Yeah.
And a lot of people look at vulnerability as being soft, and it's not. It's like you're more when you allow yourself to be vulnerable,
you're stronger than ever.
You're stronger than ever because you are holding yourself accountable for one.
Yeah.
Two, you understand where your sanity is and how you are going to protect it.
Yeah.
Three. You being aware of your emotions and how to control them and not allow other people to manipulate them, there's nothing more empowering than being vulnerable. You know what
true.
I'm saying? So it's like having some kind of toughness applied to that word, not even just toughness, but just strength. apply to that word. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, like I said, this is my first time in my life being this vulnerable. I've always been aware of myself and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But, like, asking, I told you at the beginning of this year, asking God to make me a better man, it's like, I'm being chipped. And shout out to Pastor Mike for his sermon this past Sunday, because
the
crushed grapes?
The crushed grapes into wine? Man,
listen, that was, yeah.
Took my whole spirit away.
That hit me. Right? That hit me, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, it made so much sense, because I was like, oh man, not only am I just going through that, but you start to think, like, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
But being vulnerable is extremely important, and it's empowering. It's empowering.
It definitely is. Yeah. It gives you a different type of confidence.
Oh, yeah.
That you didn't. Confidence in something that you had no confidence in at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can remember. It's so funny. Just referring back to Pastor Mike's sermon about
the crushed grapes,
but the bottle of the wineskin. The lambskin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how it expands and how you can put old wine into new wine into an old lambskin bottle because it's already stretched to capacity. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those situations where for me, I said that this whole year I've been being crushed. Like, I always look at it from the perspective of when in the Bible it said when you were a child, you spoke as a child. When you become an adult, whatever, I'm paraphrasing, you put away your childish ways. Mm-hmm. And I keep on telling people, I read something in this book that changed my whole perspective and really helped me understand why I'm going through so many emotional, spiritual growth and maturity that I didn't know, and
all the challenges, it's all shocks.
Yeah, the internal shocks I've been thinking this way this whole time. Like, you telling me this shit been wrong,
right?
And
like, so I can't turn left there,
right?
Got you.
So, you know, it makes me think about that scripture, and it made me think about that when he did the sermon about the old wine and, you know, wine in an old bottle. Mm-hmm. When you grow
well, specific for everybody listen, like specifically the lambskins,
yeah,
like the skins, yes.
When you grow in general, from when you hit a new decade, like when you were turning 18,
like 20 to 30,
yeah, or turning 18, you hit a new decade in your life. Mm-hmm. For me, I know personally, I got to a point where everything since I've turned 30, everything that I used to do in my 20s, it seemed like was like, hell no, we can't go with you in your 30s. Every day since I've turned 30, mm-hmm, I've been challenged mentally, physically, mm-hmm, emotionally, spiritually. Like, I've been challenged to the point where I just be like, what the hell am I fighting? Who am I fighting? Am I fighting myself?
And now you're aware of it.
Yeah.
You're aware of the change.
Am I fighting myself? Am I fighting other people? Am I fighting my place in a world? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you're shedding those things. You're crushing into a new wine that's gonna taste
when
good.
The challenge seems like it's more of you getting beat up as opposed to you being,
yes,
having pressure. Like, pressure, like, you look at some of the greatest things come from pressure. Like,
yeah,
diamonds come from pressure.
But I never thought that. You never think about it from a perspective of saying, hey, I'm being crushed, or I'm being like, this is a struggle. I never said that it was a struggle. I just used to be like, I'm being challenged. And why am I being challenged?
And you start thinking about all the bad ways because it don't feel good.
Yeah. Why am I being challenged? Why is this always happening? Why is everybody attacking my character? Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're not attacking your character. You're growing. It's expansion that's supposed to happen. And you don't want to let go of the shit that, mm-hmm, you're not supposed to take with you in this new season, in this new decade, because it's not gonna work in this new decade. The old shit ain't gonna work in this new decade.
That's a fact.
So, I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing that you even acknowledge that, and I appreciate your shout out.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great.
Yeah,
it makes me happy.
I do what I can.
I got butterflies in my stomach.
I mean, that's just because you're looking at me. So
that's true. You are kind of handsome.
I do what I mean. That's an understatement, but I take that.
Damn,
that's the proper words you use. You use correct wording. You don't want to be on the air like, oh my god, this nigga sexy as fuck. Like, You don't want to let everybody know how you really speak. It's okay. It's okay, Keisha. It's okay.
It's you better stop calling me her.
Now tell me who she was.
Tell me who she is. You got to get the language right, honey.
I guarantee you I'm right. I'll put money on that I'm right.
No. Well, no, we not. I don't bet.
I guarantee you I'm right.
Now tell me who she is. That's what she say in
after we get off of this, I'm a YouTuber. I'm going to show you. See, if there's one thing you can't argue me down on, this pop culture stuff. Yeah. But speaking of being vulnerable and being empowered at the same time.
Yeah.
So I read something recently, and a friend to the room, this made me think of so many things.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, we're in the middle of like cuffing season. You know what I'm saying? Like
cuffing season, not in the middle. We in this shit.
We in it. We dead. This is where you supposed
niggas started cuffing at the before November, October was out.
Nah, it was still nice outside.
No, but people nice were like
they was recruiting.
They was recruiting,
but nobody was cuffed yet. No, it was the well, except for the guys who knew they had to come back home to their baby mother or something like that. Except
the
for
niggas
them
that niggas. Didn't them. Have no place to stay.
This is
no
that baby. Winter. I'm sorry, weather. Yeah. Because we woke up, it was 41 degrees.
Hell yeah, it was.
It was cold as fuck. So, this is that season where it's like, you know, you shacking up, you know what I'm saying? You getting your thing going with your
Why
shoulder,
you
know what I'm saying?
Because
you have to do that. You have, when you go into the moment, you have to get into character. Come on, you a director, producer, actress.
Go ahead,
you,
in action.
You know. And
in
it's like, so,
action.
You know what I'm saying? You show up at the door, you got to apologize, I'm going to be your baby. I'm sorry, like, I've been around, but I'm saying, like, look, don't you worry about them. I love you. I don't
you
like you.
And you got that fucking nigga voice in your spirit.
And you yes. I done backslid a few times. You got the do-rag, like, I love you. It's
the do-rag, though.
You got the do-rag.
He got the Hermes belt on, too.
Probably, yeah. I ain't gonna hold you. Probably. And it's borrowed.
It's borrowed?
It's borrowed.
How you borrowing a belt?
Tyrone gave it to him.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, yeah, like, sure, you know, I don't love them. I love, I fuck them. I make love to you. Like, I love you.
The what you say?
So why y'all apologizing and shit when wherever that nigga came from, wherever Shorty came from, wherever these two people came from? I always ask myself. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and say I've never been a participant in cuffing season. I ain't never have to woo nobody down to fucking stay in nobody's house and that. So that's just crazy. So in the midst of my thought, after all that cuffing season things going through my head, I start to ask myself like when people are going through cuffing season, like a lot of all right. When they have wrong intentions.
Okay.
When you get to the winter, like, you're looking for somebody to lay up with. Not many people are looking for relationships. So you start thinking about who you're going to fuck.
Yeah.
Now, I asked myself, how many people actually thought, damn, when's the last time I got tested?
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, do you ever think about, man, what am I bringing into this situation? Like, where has my dick been?
Right.
Or how many niggas have I opened my legs up to? You know what I'm saying? And shout out to a friend to the room, Chelsea A. Hamlet. Like, yeah. Shout out to her. She's a writer.
Hi, Chelsea.
And she hit me up and told me she was she's been writing a lot of personal. Well, she wrote something a few months back.
Yeah.
And it was a blog post, and I was like, man, this is like amazing. I want to hear more.
I actually read the article. It was really, really good.
This last one. So she wrote, and I'm not gonna tell everybody. You know, I'm not gonna tell everybody the whole article. I'm not gonna give it up because I want everybody to go read it. Go check her out at ChelseaAHamlet.com.
Yeah.
So she has a blog post called "This Is How I Wish My Partners Responded When I Told Them They Gave Me an STI."
Yeah.
Very interesting to read. I want everybody to go check it out and check out the rest of her blog post. Subscribe to her newsletter because I recently did. So even though she always hits me up and like
puts me
on everything before it comes out, but that like hearing her story and like reading more about her story made me think about how nonchalant we are. Not everybody, but like how nonchalant culture is when it comes to safe sex.
Yeah, and how much people are for me, when I read the article, it made me feel like how insecure women can be going through a situation mm-hmm. such as that.
How easy it is to because it makes you vulnerable.
It does.
It makes you vulnerable.
I am one of those people that have been through a situation like that.
Right.
And I was in a long-term relationship for 3 years, and the person that I was intimate with, which I was a virgin at the time when I met him. So, mm-hmm. He was my first, and he gave me a sexually transmitted disease. It was chlamydia. And I didn't find out. I thought it was just a regular yeast infection
right.
because I've had one before.
Right.
And, you know, which that's common. Which is
funny because Chelsea spoke about that too. Yeah.
It was, it's common. Like at the time I was wearing underwear that wasn't right for my body. It wasn't cotton. It was like that cheap shit from Victoria's Secret.
Rayon and
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. And my body wouldn't react to it. So I had a yeast infection before when I went to my OBGYN. Mm-hmm. And this particular time I was like, this is like uncommon, you know? And I went and I found out that, I had chlamydia, and of course I was like distraught because I knew the details of chlamydia, mm-hmm. and I knew it was a sexually transmitted disease, but I was like really upset because I was like, we've been together for 3 years. Like, where would this come?
You clearly not dealing with nobody else.
Like, where did this come from? You're my first person that I've ever been with. And they said that I had it for so long that if I would have went even longer, I wouldn't have been able to have children. Mm. And I was like, okay, I didn't even know that chlamydia can even go that far.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were still new to learning about that stuff. Yeah.
And, I was upset with myself because I was just like, well, how could this happen? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I make sure that I check myself. And when I go to the doctor, I make sure that I take care of myself, because that was just one thing that my parents installed in me, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you make sure, you know, safe sex. And if you decide, you and your partner decide to make that decision, that you guys make sure that you both get tested, mm-hmm. and all of that type of stuff. So, long story short, this was the person that I thought was going to be with for eternity. And come to find out, he was...
Oh, how great it is to be naive at 18, 19.
Come to find out, he was sleeping with this girl that was a part of the church. That's a long story.
Was her name Keisha?
No. Okay. But...
Because you know it's always a Keisha.
At the time, I was, when I addressed him, which the article speaks about how she wanted them to respond differently. When I told him that he was the reason why I got this thing, mm-hmm. he was just like, you're lying and all of this type of stuff. And I was just like, okay, hold on. How is she lying? You know, you're the only person I've been with, because you're the first person I've been with in my life.
For anybody who doesn't know, Alexis refers to herself in third person a lot.
Yeah. So I was just like, how dare you disrespect me? One.
Yeah.
Two, it is a one situation where, you know, you're more mature than I am. So
you should know something.
You should know what's going on. So I'm like, okay. At that point in my life, I was just like, you know, I was very sacred when it came to, I waited a long time to lose my virginity.
I employ a lot of people to take
that
time.
So I was like in my late, I was 19 going into 20 when I decided to lose my virginity. Although we had been together 2 years, we had been together 3 years and I had
already,
lost my virginity to him. So I was just like, I had waited this time. I had planned this out. I had did all of these things. And then, you know, we get into this relationship and then all of a sudden, you know, I make this choice to do this thing with you. And then you betray me.
You know, well, not, I'm not to get subject real quick, but there gotta be something about the number three. Because somebody was with you for 3 years when you lost your virginity. I was with somebody for 3 years waiting for them to lose their virginity.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Yeah. We have so much in common.
We do.
But anyway, I know. And that's the scary part about sex. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say everybody's out here being super promiscuous and shit like that. Because we spoke about, like, you can catch things even by not knowing how your body reacts to certain stuff.
In my particular situation was, I had an allergic reaction to the condom that he was using, so it caused
the spermicide that was on.
Yeah, there. It caused mm-hmm. me. So it wasn't his fault, which I felt bad about. But, you know, afterwards, when I found out, like when I went to the doctor, like I was so distraught that I didn't even go. Like, I just left out of the room when they told me the information.
Either way, that's something that hits hard when you find out that, like, all right, I ain't been with nobody and I got something. This is crazy.
So it was from the condom that he would use when we would be intimate, and it caused for me to have a yeast infection, which turned into chlamydia. But it happens that way. And I felt, I didn't apologize because I found out that he had cheated anyway. But
so technically, you really just furthered the story for him.
I did. So, I mean, because of that situation and because of his reaction, it made me feel like, you know, even when I started dating and I decided to be intimate or whatever, it made me very insecure to have that conversation, because guys make it feel like you're a tainted person because you have a, I mean,
Like, because you have a history.
A STD is no easy thing to deal with,
no,
right?
No, not at all. Not for
and
anybody.
It's not like, oh, you know, chlamydia is cured by a pill, but it's like, it's the fact that you had an STD don't sound great.
See, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, it's true. It's hard to have these conversations with people. Like, even just opening conversations. Like, hey, you know, what's your sex history?
Yeah.
Because as men, like, culture, we put women on this
pedestal.
Unrealistic, yeah. Ridiculous pedestal. Like, everybody has a history. You know what I'm saying? It's like you running around searching for the one virgin left needle in a haystack. Like, nigga, if your woman has had sex, there's a chance that it's been more than one person. And even if it wasn't, there's a chance that that person that had sex with her had multiple people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, everybody is Eskimo brothers and sisters. We're gonna be real about it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody. And so when we look at these conversations, it's like we hold in culture, we hold women to an unrealistic pedestal. It's like not about being tainted. It's about everybody has a history. Everybody's been somewhere.
They do.
But then it's like, I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's like, but then we accept everything that goes along with sex when it's good. But then the things that we should take caution for, it's hard to talk about.
Right.
It's the whole, oh.
Or people are like, I don't want to deal with that. It's over now.
Right. Yeah. You brush it off. It's like, oh, I love squirters. I love women that squirt. Oh, you know, I don't really want to talk about it if you had a chance to like catch a yeast infection or something. I don't want to talk about that. Like, let me know when your pussy work again. You know, it was like,
it's so funny that you say that because I remember us, when I had a bladder infection,
mm-hmm.
and you was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, it's, you know, just lady parts. I didn't feel comfortable talking to you about that because that was my first time ever having a bladder infection. I didn't know what the details were. Mm-hmm. So I just knew that I felt uncomfortable. And, you was just like, well, tell me what's going on. And mm-hmm. I was like, I have a bladder infection because of this or the stuff.
I mean, the first thing I was worried about was, did I do something wrong?
Because of the stuff that I was eating and, right. you know, whatever. But, it becomes a situation where you, as a woman, you feel so insecure about mm-hmm. telling parts of your body. But now, you know, now that I'm in a committed relationship and I'm in a relationship where it's not childish. Like, you know, you have conversations with some people and they'd be like, well, they'd be looking at you like you tainted. And they'd be like, okay, well.
Like, not much makes me cringe. Yeah.
It's like, okay, you fuck people in the ass. That's still as nasty.
Not me, y'all.
Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know,
like,
I'm just joking.
You fuck people in the ass. That's as nasty as a fucking yeast infection.
It really is. There's a lot of bacteria back there no matter how much you clean.
Like, I don't know how you equate that to being cleanly.
That's the funny thing. Like, we so openly talk about, yeah, I eat ass. Yeah, I eat pussy. I do this. Like, oh, yeah. But then you don't want to talk about what could happen.
Yeah.
It's like, when you, and that makes you think, like you said, it's hard to have these conversations. That makes you think, like, all right, when I get into this relationship, should I hold something back? Should I not say something? It's, cause if I come to you, like, I mean, let's be real. They make it seem ridiculous. Like, culture makes it seem ridiculous to ask someone how many sexual partners you have.
Yeah.
How, that should be common.
It should be too.
That should be common. Like, I'm not sitting here saying it necessarily needs to be a first date conversation, but it needs to be a conversation if you plan on moving along sexually. But,
yeah.
But there should be the way we can start a conversation about, yeah, I ain't got a problem fucking you in the bathroom right now when we first met. We should have no problem like saying, yeah, you know, I've been with like 7 people, 8 people, 9 people, 15
yeah.
people. Like, that should be, it should be like saying, yeah, I drink water. Like, it should be normal.
I think this conversation also proves that you're not supposed to give everybody your energy either.
That's a fact right there too.
No, because, I mean, in a sense, okay, if you decide that you want to be sexually active with multiple people,
there's still beauty in that too. It's like everybody, just you got to be empowered. You have to know what you want in life.
I also believe that you should. It's some things that just ain't worth it. Like, sometimes I feel like sex, in a sense, people just do it for convenience instead of just saying, "Hey, this is somebody that I really am." Mm-hmm. Even if you physically attracted to that person, somebody that I'm physically attracted to, I really want to, you know, feel the embrace of that person or whatever, the penetration of that individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking from a woman's perspective.
Well, no, not anymore. Like,
no. I mean, but I'm as a woman. But
I'm just saying, there's some yeah. men who use the same conversation.
You're right.
Yeah, it's all love.
But saying that I really want to, instead of saying, oh, you know, it's this dude that I'm fucking with. He said he want to get it. I don't know where this is going, and I want to fuck with him.
You want people to be honest. Yes. With themselves and with gotcha.
Like, if you're sexually attracted to this person, that's cool. But don't do it for convenience because this dude over here, he cool or whatever. And, you know, we was talking about he want to fuck me. So, I'm going to just let him fuck me.
Like, you don't want somebody to just do a might as well.
Yeah. Might as well let him fuck me. Like, don't do that. You giving somebody your energy that don't even deserve that shit. He's just doing it. He just want it because that's something that he hasn't had.
So, and I respect that because a lot of men just chase women for the sake of chasing them.
Yeah.
That is the fact. But like, you speak up the thought of that's abstinence, like abstaining. And abstinence doesn't mean like never have sex again. It could just mean not giving this nigga any.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's that's important part there too. Like, it's like I said, when I read this article, I just heard empowerment. Cause usually it's a lot of, it's these stories can easily turn into a victim story.
And it gave me, as a woman, it gave me a lot of confidence to just be okay with speaking about it because, you know, my mom told me that she got chlamydia, but she got chlamydia when I got chlamydia. She didn't tell me. We didn't get it at the same time, but no, she at didn't the
same
explain.
Around the same age.
She range. Didn't explain that she got it. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about everything sexually, but when it came to that, she didn't talk about it until I experienced it.
I've been through that.
Yeah, girl. Yeah. You know, and then you get to hear, girl, I had that.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's so common when something bad happens.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, you know, like parents tell kids, hey, you can catch this. And I personally, when we have children, I would want them to learn from experience if I've been through something. Now, if I never had it, I can't tell you anything.
No.
If I've never been through it, I can't. But I'm pretty sure I know somebody who had it before.
But I think you should also be vocal. One thing that she said in the relationship, in the article about relationships, and I feel like people are not vocal about being tested. You told me you was like, I get tested every year. And I was like, so do I. And we had that conversation. That was a conversation that we openly spoke about.
Yeah.
And we talked about, like, the situation with me getting a STI, it was a conversation that we had that conversation. We spoke in detail, and then he asked me questions and I answered them honestly. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous at first, but then when I said something about it, I was like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Not at all.
I mean, sex comes with, it has its pros.
And its cons.
And it has its cons, depending on if the person that you're sexually active with is taking good care of themselves.
Yeah.
It's all about, this is a form of self-care.
Hell yeah.
Making sure that your body internally, and you know, your organs, your genitalia area is
I already heard where you was going because you was ready to say area
is good. You know, that is self-care.
The same way you say, I want to go buy new jeans, you should say, I want to go get tested.
Right.
Like, whenever I have a checkup at the doctor, something like that, I don't care if I've been in a relationship for 10 years. It's like, if they ask me, I'm like, yeah, why not? Whatever.
And ladies that go from, you know, a lot of people, I realize this and it's so funny. A lot of ladies don't know how to properly wipe themselves.
Ooh.
They don't.
Ooh.
This girl,
I've heard that plenty of times.
This girl that I knew, she was like, I keep getting yeast infections. I was like, girl, then what's going on? Like, is your underwear, have you checked your underwear, are you using cotton? She was like, my underwear, I haven't changed my underwear. I was like, maybe it could be your soap, because if you use a certain type of soap, you can throw off your chemical imbalance, and it can cause you to have bacteria and stuff like that and build up and all that type of stuff. And she was like, you know, I keep using the same soap. And I was like, how are you wiping?
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. Now we got to the good shit.
And she was like, I just wipe. I said, you wipe from back to front. And she was like, yeah, that's how everybody wipe. I was like, no pumpkin.
I'm not even a woman and I know
that. I was like, no pumpkin. You got the wipe from front to back. Go down, under, and then drop the toilet paper. toilet tissue in the in the commode because your clit and your booty hole are that close together where it can get bacteria into your vagina. And she was like, no, that's not the right one. We Googled it and she was mind blown.
That's crazy. That's something they're supposed to teach you.
But you know, think about it.
But a lot of schools don't though.
Think about it. If you watch it, have you ever watched a parent wipe a little girl?
Well, yeah, as babies, they do because they don't want to lift up. They do back the.
They do.
Yeah.
That's not the proper way. So if you are doing it in the diaper stage, by the time they're potty trained, you teaching them the same thing. The same
movement, yeah.
Right. So I was just like, oh, you know, so that's proper. People don't know how to properly wipe. Some women don't know how to properly wipe themselves.
That goes with being, you got to be vocal, right? Yeah. True. Agreed.
Another thing, one thing that she mentioned in the article, and this is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
This, I feel like, I already know where you're going with this because.
What am I saying?
I already know what you're going to say. Is it the oral sex thing?
Yes.
Yo, real talk. And this is real talk. And because we want everybody to go read the article. And
yes,
we didn't give everything away. So that's the perfect part about it. We're not here. No spoiler alerts. But this part is too funny for us not to say. And you know, and I'm going to speak to men. I'm going to speak to the men for this one. You gave the ladies a little tidbit. Let me speak to the men about this one. Any male that knows me, or if you don't know me, any male that is listening to this, if you have a brother, cousin, best friend, whatever, please tell them. Oral sex is sex.
Yes.
It is still, that's why the word sex is in it. Anything that you can catch, an STD, STI, any kind of infection.
Anything
from,
where you're exchanging bodily fluids.
It's sex, bro.
It is sex.
Or sexual, and involves going into sex. Yeah.
Like fingering is sexual.
Oh, my nigga. Because if there's a smell that comes back from it, you've been somewhere. Like, I look at it like this. Like, when men speak about their sexual history, they forget to say, I got my dick sucked.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm going to be real with you.
But is that something that you really even think about?
Most people don't.
That's not common.
But that's where we fall short at. It's like, if you can say something as simple as you got to wipe correctly, that's the same, that goes with that same conversation.
But that opened my eyes because I didn't even think about that from the perspective like, oh, okay, or you only think about sex when it comes to penetration, but oral sex. Because
that's what they teach you, right?
Yeah, oral sex is sex.
I'm going to be real with you. I know a lot of women that got herpes from oral sex. I know a lot of women that got herpes.
It's a lot of people that walk around here with bum bumps on their lips.
Oh, not even just on their lips. Like, there's some people that, I'm speaking inside about genital herpes. I'm speaking of genital herpes. I mean, which I'm not shaming anybody who got it.
No.
Don't get me wrong, but.
I've seen pictures of them when I was in high school.
I know some people who have gotten it from just dealing with the wrong dudes. Like, cause you know how some women would be like, oh, I'm not giving that nigga head, and a dude would say something like, well, let me do it to you first and see how you feel. Not paying attention at, like, the same way people can tell a male to use a condom when you get head, there are dental dams.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know where the nigga from and you know he smoked Black and Miles every day or you letting niggas who ain't even brush their teeth lick your pussy.
Oh my God.
Come on.
Oh my
God. What
goodness.
Are you doing?
My body is itching.
No, but it's real. Like, it's real.
It is.
I like when men, when we speak, for one, let's not shame women who have history because all humans have history.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Brush your teeth.
Please. That's another conversation. Let's stop with these unrealistic pedestals, these unrealistic
I agree.
Views of how somebody's supposed to be pristine and untouched and unkept. I mean, not unkept, but like unsoiled. Like it's,
and that goes across the board. No judgment amongst any male, female, any sexuality that has gone through that type of situation because it's emotional for both parties.
And this is exactly this is where I'm getting at. It's like, let's not look, when we speak of our
sexual history.
Understand that you may not remember that you got head like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But you should remember if you got head in the past few months.
And that shit burned a couple of weeks after.
That shouldn't be something that you just take away or, you know, disclose everything. Like, damn, well, you know what? I did get my dick sucked in that bathroom at the club.
Yeah.
Or like, shorty did come over and, you know, top me off real quick. However, whatever language you use, you know, just remember that. And then when you meet a woman who, you know, for one, like I said, these conversations should be normal. Nobody should look at you weird when you know, this, matter of fact, you look at it like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
A period is normal.
Yeah.
And yet men are still disgusted knowing that women bleed. You have sisters. You may have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You have a mother. Even if you don't have a sister, you have a mother. You got a grandmother, you got aunts, whatever. Like, this is how babies happen. Like, the women produce eggs. Like, this is, it's natural.
It's so, it's the walls, shedding the.
Are you looking for the right word?
I am.
Yeah. It'll come back to you.
It's the walls. That's what the period comes from. When you go through your,
right,
your ovulation, it's shedding the walls of whatever.
Right, I get what you're saying.
I'm gonna get the language right later.
Right, but I'm saying like this is natural reproduction. So like,
yeah,
if you can, everybody says they want somebody with experience, right?
Yeah,
men. In real talk, niggas want women that can suck dick well.
Mm.
What do you think they learned to that? They ain't gonna just be experts
from
on
Dick
you,
and John.
Like.
From Dick and John.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. There you go. It's like every
blow job, John.
You gotta have practice. Dick. You gotta have practice. It's like you're not just gonna be able to, women ain't gonna be able to deep throw after practicing with one nigga.
There's but they can do it with a banana or
however you practice, I ain't judging. But point being is people want somebody to be good at something sexually and not think about them having the experience of learning how to do that. It happens. Everybody's been somewhere. Shit, long as you clean your ass and brush your teeth, you fine. Get tested. Don't sit there. And if a woman tells you, hey, I've had this before, don't look at them like you should fucking just shoo them away and be like, oh my God, she's disgusting. Bruh. It's okay. It happens. Does she have it now? No, she's clean. Yeah. She get tested. There should be no walls when it comes to sexual conversations about history or just if you can so quickly talk about what you like in the bedroom, but then when something bad happens, you want to fucking buckle down and cower away. I'm not dealing with that shit.
And then that also goes from women, like, you know, don't be ashamed to
hold that
say
shit up.
What makes you feel uncomfortable. Don't
Please.
Be ashamed to express to your significant other that you have been through a situation similar to this and
that's empowering.
You don't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like that goes for men as well. If you're a man and you've experienced a STI scare,
mm-hmm.
and you don't feel comfortable doing oral sex,
that's fine.
You know, that I think that's a conversation you can have with your spouse to say, I don't feel comfortable you doing it on me because I don't know where your mouth being.
Like, I'm gonna be real with you. I ain't let everybody suck my dick growing up. Like I wouldn't with that shit.
It's so many things that you know you need to. But I also think that this article, and shout out to Chelsea again,
yeah,
for putting this out in the forefront. It really opens up the conversation and makes it more an everyday conversation.
It has to be
instead
normal.
Of
has to be.
Just, oh, I got this situation. Girl, you got this situation too, and it's in the confines of your
right.
home.
Right, it shouldn't be bathroom talk.
Yeah, it's in the confines of your home, and you realize somebody has gone through this situation when you've gone through the situation, instead of sharing to women that have not experienced it and, you know, letting them know, hey, even with your husband, you and your husband should be constantly being tested.
It's true.
Because anything can happen.
Anything can happen. And there's nothing wrong if you're in a committed relationship. That don't mean that y'all are worried about one another cheating. That doesn't mean that.
No, it doesn't equate to that.
It can just be
your body goes through changes as yeah. men and women. And it can be something that, you know, that you guys are trying new and your body is just like, oh, I don't like that shit.
Right.
And it's causing for you to have bacteria issues.
Yeah, everybody tries something new sexually. You know? You might try a new lube and it's like, oh, whoa, something's wrong.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Anything. It should be as, if we can go get checkups like normally because my throat hurt or something like that.
Yeah.
It should be like, yo, you know, babe, let's get tested.
And you should do as men and women. Men, you should check your dick, your balls, make sure that all
yep,
of this shit
no
look great. And then you should all, the women, you should always put a mirror, at least not always, but frequently put
a
mirror down there to check out to see if your vagina looks the same. You need to know what your genitalia looks like
yeah.
on the outside as well as what it feels like on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I think it's self-care. Self-care mm-hmm. is so important, especially in a day and age where, you know, healthcare is not something that comes so easily to everybody. You know, and all of the foods have different things in it and our bodies react differently. It's just great to know that I know myself enough to know that I'm not well.
Hold your head up high if you've been through anything. Don't let anybody tell you that you're disgusting for this or anything. Men and women.
No,
like,
I definitely feel more empowered being in a relationship with somebody that understands that, you know, it's a situation that took place. It was very, very long ago, but it is one of those situations where you feel like you are less of a woman having this conversation, because men do put you on a pedestal. And for me, my sexual lifespan is very fucking short. So it's like, okay, I haven't even been doing it that long and I haven't even had that many sex partners. So it's like, damn. And out of these, however, you know, this small number of niggas you've been dealing with, you got this. Like,
I always say, it's not about how many people you've been with, but the things that you've done with those people.
Oh,
that's how I look at it. So, but, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying, like, you may not have been with a lot of people, but you may have done a lot of things with those
people.
You got
some experiences on your neck.
It happens, but, I mean, yeah, once again, shout out to Chelsea, because friends of the room, I'm interested in having her back on the show very soon.
Yeah.
Very soon. So, maybe after the break.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, she's going to hear this and she's going to hit me up. So,
yeah.
I mean, not only are we in like close to, I guess we're in the middle of cuffing season, we about to hit that part of the year where everybody's going to start saying, it's cutoff season. I'm ready to stop talking to people and all this stuff. And this article as well, as my life experiences recently, have led me to think about are you and not just me, but like in general, when we say these things, are we cutting off the right people? And this article made me think, like, how do you discern who's toxic and who's not?
Ooh,
because you know, so many people will be quick to be like, oh, she dropped my pen, she don't need to be in my life. Like, whoa, bro, that was small.
Yeah,
you're not paying attention to this nigga who keep coming back to your house, even though he cheats on you all the fucking time. You keep letting him in.
Okay.
You know? Like,
a word.
Oh, listen, I do what I can. My book open. My book is open. I'm going on a tour for my book tour. I'll be at Barnes & Noble's near you soon. But no, it's like, I ask myself that question, like, how can you discern who is actually toxic in your life? Cause that's what we really need to be paying attention to.
How full you are when you leave that person.
Okay, that's a good point. That's what do you mean? Elaborate on that.
How full you are when you if I'm like, okay, so Marlene Victoria, shout out to her. She's a very good friend to the room and one of my bestest friends here in New York City.
Liquor shop, buck, buck.
Every time we leave one another, we are so full. When we talk on our phone, we are full. Like, I leave away feeling inspired based off of something that she said to me, or just feeling like, you know, the other day we had a conversation. We were talking about girlfriend stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she motivates me just like I motivate her.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How many times in a conversation do you go, girl, girl,
like, girl? probably like a couple of times, because we talk about some other stuff. But I leave away full from her every time that I don't feel like she's sucking anything out of me. I don't feel like I have to do extra. I don't feel like it is an obligation for me to, you know, if she's going through something, if it's an obligation for me to be like, oh, okay, she about to tell me about this sad story again. Like,
right.
It's not,
she's not
that
taking anything away.
She's
from
not
me.
Taking my energy. She's not sucking anything away from me. When I leave away from her, I'm as full as I was when I came to the table to talk to her.
Yeah.
And I feel that about a lot of people, a lot of women that and a lot of people that I put in my I've had in my circle thus far this year. I leave away from them full. I leave so full, like, oh my God, I can't wait to have another experience with you.
Right. And those are the people that you keep around.
Yes.
Now, when you think about a toxic point, like, cause I like, you always give the good. Let me give the bad. Let me do that. So those are the people you keep in your life. Exactly. Like, y'all pay attention to her. The people that fill you up mentally, emotionally, physically, cause some people feel, full physically, you know, no, whatever you like to do. it's all on you.
That P and that D.
Whatever whatever you like to do. The people, not, like the people personally, like those are people I appreciate a lot. Like anybody that gives any kind of, not even just motivation, but like keeps my passion going because they're passionate.
Yeah.
Too.
Like you, they like make you, said, you just feel full.
Yeah, but you be like, I'm gonna go fucking with a marathon.
I ain't even, I wasn't even hungry before I came, but I was hungry. I, you know, I was full before I came here.
I felt like I had some Subway.
You done just got me, you just put me, you just made me supper.
Not even dinner. I was full with supper. I wanted nothing after 8 o'clock.
I was on my Dion shit. I was getting that supper.
That, yeah, y'all go watch Dion Cole. Like, that was hilarious. Like, where, with me, like, I'm very appreciative of those people.
Yeah.
When I think about toxic people.
Yeah.
When you always got to be on defense. Though,
that's the worst feeling terrible. In the world.
Not just so much, like, not just so much the person that you pick up your phone and you go, oh, this nigga again. Right. Not just that person. I mean, and speaking from experience, the people you always got, you understand to have an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
You know, like the people that say, oh, I know they're coming around because they want something.
They got
that
opportunist spirit.
Right. And, you know, a few people hit me up and was like, yo, I'm glad y'all spoke about opportunists and you being aware of that. Like, that's important. The people, like, I found this about myself. I told you how aware I was in the past few years. Mm-hmm. Like, I keep my grass cut. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for the snakes all the time. And I'm not always on defense, but I can tell, you know, when your energy shifts.
Yeah.
When a certain person comes in the room. And I know you thinking about something bad because your face is all twisted up right now.
Because I'm thinking about, like, the people like that. Fuck up your sanity.
I'm telling you.
They be having your mental all fucked up. And they be like, why the fuck are you
why
here,
you
bitch?
Here? Yeah. Like, my nigga, what you coming around for? Like I've had, you know.
Irk my spirit. My spirit be irked. And it's, like, you know, I put spirits on all type of stuff. But I really do believe in spirits, though. Like, I really do
Energy's
believe.
Energy's big.
In that, like, energy. Like, Energy's a person big. Can fuck up my whole spirit.
Energy's huge.
Like, Energy's huge. It's one person in particular. Do you know this person? He fuck up my spirit every time he come to fuck around.
And I'm sure we talking about the same person.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, chatty patty like a motherfucker. I ain't, you know, I'll start saying names in 2020. Let's maybe. But on some, no, real talk. And like that, I've known that person for a long time. And you just know how you, I feel like once I'm able to mentally separate you, like to understand that, all right, this nigga's opportunist, this nigga does this, I can pick and choose who to deal with and who to keep around. Mm-hmm. I can do that. And this person this year showed me, you know what? You need to go. You need to
spirit.
Fucking go. Cause I know you coming around to try to watch what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I know you, and I'm never worried about somebody copying from me because, you know, if you run if you live in originality, you always got you always know somebody gonna
you
bite
can't
your shit.
You can't duplicate what I already created.
You can't.
You can't duplicate the original.
You know? So, but I know this person always wants, yo, like, it's the kind of person that fucking, when you do something big and they want to be around you because they ain't got nothing big going on, it's like, okay, you want to watch me? Fine, whatever. Like, oh, let me help you with this. Let me help you with that. If you need help, like, especially the motherfuckers, when you got an event and they offer to help just so they don't got to fucking pay for a ticket, like, my nigga.
Shorty, come my way. So I can tell your ass no. Go hit the door.
It's
come my way.
And it kills, like, the people that you got to always be on defense and not even just like, all right, this nigga always wants something, going dipping back into relationships. If a man or woman, if anyone comes to your house that you're dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you sit back and you gotta wonder where that motherfucker been, oh, something wrong.
Hello?
Something's wrong.
Is it me you looking for?
Something's wrong.
Look, let me tell you something. A toxic person for me is one of those situations where I feel like you are preventing me from living my best fucking life. If you come around,
okay.
If you come around and I don't want to see your ass, I'm forcing myself to talk to you. I'm forcing myself to have a relationship with you. I'm not living my best life because I am forcing myself to be something that I'm not.
I'm holding back.
And I'm warned, mm-hmm. and you can attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't want to be friends with your ass, I want you to know.
I don't want you to know why I don't like you.
I want you to know why I don't like you. Why mm-hmm. I don't speak to you. Why you not my type of person.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to feel it in your spirit so you will not come and speak to me.
Yeah.
I am the nicest person in the world, but if I feel like you're toxic to my life, I don't want to be, I want to be your friend on Facebook. Don't add me. Don't at me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Don't tag me in no photo that you seen me in. We's not
Twitter,
friends.
Twitter with an A. Not Twitter. 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 Cause that's black. That's black Twitter. That's what they really should do. It shouldn't be black Twitter. It should be black Twitter.
Twitter.
Don't
at me. Don't tell a friend to DM me.
And I'm definitely not gonna block you because I really don't care.
I mean, I really don't care. Yeah. But I want you to know that we not friends.
Go ahead.
Because I don't wanna put myself in a situation where
you gotta draw the line in the sand.
I never wanna put myself in a situation where I'm talking bad about your ass.
Every
time you come around.
That is so real.
No, because I don't want to put my... first of all, I'm already close to going to hell. I don't want to put myself further.
I told you, so I'm only 20%
safe. To get me closer to the Lord...
That is so real. Yo, that is so fucking real.
To get me closer to the Lord, I need for your ass to go yonder.
Yo, that is...
Because I don't want to be the person... I don't want to be the one that can be like, why is this bitch?
Because now you be complaining to everybody else about this nigga. You be like, yo, you know this motherfucker that borrowed my pen and didn't give it back to me?
Right. You be mad about just shit.
It's like, yo, you be on Instagram, you be scrolling, and you be like, oh, this nigga got a new jacket. Oh. You be mad about shit you ain't even supposed to be mad about.
Because you don't like the motherfucker, but you so happen to, he so happen to, he or she so happen to be in your circle. You be like, okay, why the fuck is this bitch just sitting by me? Like,
yo, that is a real as shit.
Why the fuck that bitch got on that outfit? Like, you be mad about shit that don't even matter.
This nigga breathing now? You breathing? Like, yo, oh my God. And people need to really pay attention to this too. Solely because you've been around somebody for a long time.
Oh my God.
History get a motherfucker. History is for textbooks. Fuck what you heard.
Write that shit.
History is for Google
and
textbooks, my nigga. Like, granted, respect it. I do not fucking romanticize over history, nigga. If you gotta leave, you gotta leave. And people don't realize there's expiration date on food. It's an expiration date on life and relationships. And that means family and friends.
Yeah. We actually had to have that conversation the other day.
We did.
Because I was dealing with a situation, old friendship that
Before you get into that point, I want to say I'm very proud of you for being so open this episode.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very proud of you for being so, but go ahead.
I done blown up a couple of friendships that I lost, this one in particular that I lost a couple of years ago that still kind of I've been carrying with me for some time, and I was really, really upset because I was just like, damn, like, we were just friends just a week ago. Like, what the fuck just happened?
About a week ago.
And all of a sudden a person decided that they didn't want to be, you know, they decided that I had no value in their life anymore, and all of the, you know, went down their Rolodex of the reasons why. I got my own.
Okay.
Rolodex as to why I'm not a good friend. And I was saying to, Josie Boy the other day that, I was still hurt by that. Like, I cried or whatever, because I was just like, damn, like, we went through so much together and I don't understand it. And because I'm such a control freak, one thing that he said was like, you were just like, oh, are you just upset that you didn't get, you weren't the person controlling
the person to walk away.
Yeah. Controlling the narrative for the ending. And I realized that yes. And also because I always feel like I take my friendship so serious. You're my friend, you're my family. And when things go sour, even if it's one of those situations where, you know, you leave, you move someplace else, and, you know, long distance kind of takes us away.
Happens.
I'm one of those people that, you know, I just would prefer for us to, like, have a conversation and be like, you know, we're living different lives and, you know,
you wanted to be the end of an R&B song.
Kind of. But I had to realize that I, one, need to forgive the person for hurting me. Cause at the end of the day, that person had to do what was best for their life at the time. And we all go through different stages, and not everybody can be as vocal as I am about, hey, you know, we ain't cool. You know, people have that rhetoric of, I'm just not going to fuck with her. I'm not going to talk to her no more.
Right.
And forget about the history that was accumulated instead of just saying, you know, I'm in a different place right now. Can we, you know, I just need some time to myself.
Right.
I just feel like we shouldn't be friends anymore. As hard as that is to say, I feel like in some situations it is valid, but if a person doesn't say it, you have to forgive
you have
them
to just respect it
and respect it.
Yeah.
So for me, I had to really realize that I'm not meant to be friends with people for a long time. And as you evolve in life, you have new friendships and new people that you bring into your life. And some people stay for eternity and some people are just to push you to where you need to be in life.
100%,
100%. Just great energy. Shout out to the person that I once was my friend, 'cause she did push me to get to a certain place in my life. And I'm thankful for that because I'm in a great space. So
that was very mature of you.
Yeah.
Like when you make points, it's just like, there's really nothing to say after that. Like you, when you make a point, it's like the end of a Montel show. It's like his final thought. I was like, damn, what do I say after that? Like, no, but that's real too. Like the same way we can talk about cutting people off, we have to respect that shit. Maybe we're a toxic person.
Yeah.
And and whether we feel like our behavior isn't
toxic,
detrimental to anybody else, it could be little things that annoy that person.
You could be a burden on somebody and don't even know you're a fucking burden,
all because you use words incorrectly.
Yeah,
it could be little shit like that.
Yeah,
it could be you don't hold doors for me.
Yeah.
So I hate that you don't have manners, like you don't have comment. It could be anything, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody has their own standards of any relationship.
Yeah.
And respecting that, everybody standards shift, they change, people have different outlooks on life, they're in different situations in their lives. So, you know, I respect that, and it took me some time because losing friends is like losing like my family members, and it is hard.
It ain't easy. The ending of anything isn't easy.
Yeah.
The ending of, unless it's like school, because then people are like, oh my god, I don't want to do this anymore. But I think people, you know, the same way we talk about cutting off people have to realize that somebody's journey has to come with us getting sniffed too. We ain't always the one controlling the narrative, you know. That's important. But like that's a great point that you brought that up, you know. With me, like I said, I've been dealing with family issues, and it's something that you know, all right, this is how I feel about 2019.
Yeah.
2019 for me, in my eyes, because I've seen it and I'm dealing with it. I've been dealing with it all year. 2019 is definitely about breaking cycles. I feel like 2019 was the year of breaking cycles.
Yeah.
People were more aware of it. People were more accepting of it.
Yeah.
And people were willing to just do it, you know? For me, like we had a conversation and you said something about, you know, but your family may be toxic. And you didn't say it to where it's like they are the toxic ones, but you throwing that idea out there and then me thinking about the history of things that have happened. I'm like, shit, you know what? Motherfuckers are a little toxic. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then having to tell myself and build it up saying it's okay for me to protect my sanity. Especially when it comes to family.
'Cause they the people that hurt you the most because they know the most about you.
Right. And I remember having a conversation with my mother recently.
Yeah.
And I felt like at that moment I kind of stood up and planted the flag in the ground, like, yo, I need respect, you know? 'Cause I'm the only one without children in my family, which I don't know how long that's gonna last. I'm the only one without children in my family, so
it's gonna last about another year and a half.
Damn, that's soon. Man.
You said you ain't know. I just threw out some numbers.
You don't know either, so stop it. Stop it. Only God knows. So whatever happens, happens. But I was talking to my mother, and you know, me and my mother have a great relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We have a great relationship.
You're her twin.
For the most part, yeah. So I've always been the one without children for a long time in my family. Everybody has like multiple children in my family. So I've always been the one that kind of accommodates everybody. It's like, I'm here. Like on Thanksgiving, it's like, all right. Shout out to Jay Santy. I'll be like, oh, I'll be at his house late at night. You know what I'm saying? But in the morning, the first meal will be, at my brother's house. Second meal will be like, oh, I got a friend's house. Third meal will be like, oh, my house. Then I'll finish the night off at like Red's house.
Yeah.
And I'm always accommodating people. And it's getting to the point where it's like, not only am I choosing to slow down, I'm choosing to slow down specifically, and I mean, not just for my health and all that stuff, but because I'm choosing to build my own traditions and my own family at this point. So I told my mother that, you know, I don't, she said, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? I said, we volunteering again.
Yeah, shout out to FCBC. We volunteer every year.
Every Thanksgiving.
And give out food to the homeless at our church. So that is our Thanksgiving.
That's our tradition. You know what I'm saying? And then we're going to go to the movies and see Queen and Slim.
Yes.
So I told her, I said, I'm going to volunteer. She goes, oh, that sounds cool. What are you doing about Christmas? I said, well, Alexa's thinking about going back home. Like, I had fun. I said, I had fun in St. Louis with her. Like, I think we're going to go back too. And of course, that was a diversion.
Yeah. You know,
because they think I'm not going to be home, but like, we're going to be home.
Yeah.
So, she says, okay, that's cool that she's going away, but what about you? I'm like, what about me? And she goes, why y'all leaving? I said, Ma, I can't stop somebody from going to see their family.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, no, I'm not worried about that. What about your family? I said, Ma, that is my family now.
Yeah.
Like, I told her, I said, you know, I understand that you're trying to make up for time or whatever. I said, but you have to realize that, like, I'm an adult. Like, I'm trying to build my legacy and my family. I'm not going to be here every single. And I said, I don't take it for, and people, I think, are afraid to have these conversations with their family too. I don't take it for granted that I see you all the time.
Yeah.
I don't see my mother all the time, but I mean family. I don't take it for granted that I see y'all every day. That's a blessing in itself.
Right.
To see my family every single day. But you have to realize that I'm not going to be here all the time.
Yeah.
There's going to come a day where I'm not going to be here at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, I appreciate the time I have with y'all, but like, I have to pick holidays now. We both do now.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we both do now. And that's something that's going to be in the forefront for us.
It's so funny because my family,
cause now your family gonna be looking for me.
Yeah, my family is very much, I don't get the opportunity to see them very much throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So my family is like, when we were back home, they were like, ah.
Everybody is like, yo, you gotta come here today.
Like, oh my God. You know, everybody was like, oh my God, I heard that Tony is in town. Everybody wants to see him. And it's like, when I come back home, everybody wants to see me. My family is just like, don't do nothing. Like my brother was like, don't touch anything. We're going to cook you guys dinner.
Y'all just sit down.
You know, you sit down, watch TV. Like my family is so like, okay, she's here. We need to like, make sure we get everything
like,
that we can.
We were going out to dinner and Jerrica came for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm happy with that.
And it was just like, you know, my family don't see me often and they're not able to see my life that I have here in New York. So it's like when we go back home, my mom is just like, which I want to do. Where y'all want to go?
Right.
Y'all want to have this? You want to do this? And it's like, you know, it's a great experience.
We're going to do more next time we go back.
Yeah.
Next time we go back, we're going to make sure we don't have any major events.
No, we're not. We're just going to go for like a couple of days, like almost a week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, you know, and then your family is so like, your grandmother is just the sweetest thing to me and she loves me so much. You know, how can you not love me?
Just throw that
out there. But, and his mom does too, and his nieces and his nephews. So, you know, trying to figure out how we, like, I'm just a big family person in general. So it doesn't matter for me. Like my family is away at home. So, you know, my people here are my family. So wherever I'm around people that love me,
it makes me feel good. But being able to control, like people are afraid to control their narrative when it comes to their family.
And excluding motherfuckers that can't just be invited.
Yeah. It's like, I can love you, but I can love you over there.
Yeah. Some people can't come to the Christmas party.
No, that's a fact. I mean, literally, a lot of people.
No,
can't come
it's
to
a lot of people
party.
Can't come to the Christmas party.
But no, it's like when you think about toxic people, like pay, like I want you to literally do inventory on your life. You know what I'm saying? Like the people in your life. Do
inventory on your life.
It's that, and you don't have to wait till the end of the year to do it.
Show don't.
You do not have to wait till the end of the year to do it. So it's like you could do inventory in your life. Like I want you to take the five people that you see all the time, like they first start off with friends. Don't even start with family.
Mm-hmm.
But the five, because you see your family all the time, God willing. Take the five people that you see, friends, all the time, and ask yourself what you like about them, what you don't like about them. Ask yourself, do I feel some type of way when I see them on social media when they come across my feed? If they call my phone now, I'm gonna be like, oh, what do they want? Or I'm gonna excitingly open the phone and be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, am I excited to speak to you? Weigh out the pros and cons of your friends, then on your family. You know, I understand. Like, people always say, they may be toxic, but they're still your family. Yes, you can appreciate and love them. That doesn't mean you have to take their shit. Mm-mm. So I need you to do inventory on your family, too, and ask yourself, when I come here, am I comfortable? When I come here, am I happy? And I don't, like, do that with everybody. When I'm around this person, do I have to be on defense? Do I have to be on offense? Like,
a person situation, you go over to their house and you only stay for 5 minutes? Like, hey, right.
Whatever accommodates you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I want everybody to do inventory on who you keep around you.
I like that a lot.
I do. That
is so genius.
It's going to be in my next book.
I can see that.
It's going to be in my next book.
Such a genius.
And that's going to be the title of my book. You're such a genius. When you open it, it's going to, Franklin from My Wife and Kids is going to be in his voice. You're such a genius. And, we come to a close. It's the end of the episode.
Oh, this is a good conversation.
That was fun. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We truly appreciate y'all. I'm your girl, Trevor Dollars, Josie's boy.
And I'm Alexis A. McCoy.
And we thank you for listening to episode 180 of Call Me When It's Over. Please do not forget to subscribe to us. We are available everywhere you get your podcasts. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, and
our homepage at RageVoiceNetwork.com. Don't forget that the month of December, we will not be recording. We're taking a little break.
Yes.
And we'll come back to you guys at the top of the year, but in the meantime, you can go visit all of those platforms along with our homepage at RageWorksNetwork.com and listen to all of the episodes.
And we'll be putting out more visuals on our Facebook.
We will,
because we're exclusive on Facebook at facebook.com/ call me when it's over.
Sorry.
So nah, it's all good. No, you did all the plugs. You did everything. So you know, go give us wherever you subscribe to us at, please leave us a rating, leave a review, say something, tell us what you like, what you don't like.
Yes, please. We definitely want to hear from you guys and we want to get feedback. And also don't forget to listen to our Chelsea A. Hamlet's article.
Yes.
We'll make sure we post it on our Facebook page so you guys can check that out.
Yeah.
And
other than that, as always, speak up, speak out.
And leave your ego at the door.
We're done.
Bye.